The next application is conditional use number 1946, the application of Clean Delaware LLC.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for land application of Class B sanitary waste, non-sanitary food processing residuals, and potable water iron residuals to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 259.08 acres, more or less, lying on both sides of Road 201, also referred to as McCauley Road, and north of and across from Road 202, also referred to as Shockley Road, and being identified on the tax records as Tax Map ID District 330, Map 3, Parcel 7, and District 330, Map 4, Parcels 1.01 through 1.04, 1.08 to 1.16, and 19 and 21. This application was also reviewed through the public hearing process with the Planning and Zoning Commission on November 15. In that public hearing process, the applicants had provided the commission with exhibit booklets. Can I ask a question of the applicant? May I ask a question of the applicant before I pass it up?
Sure.
Is this the same information that was in your new booklet?
No, the new booklet's different.
Okay, different. So I pass these down.
Forget these booklets?
No, you still use those two.
Two booklets.
Okay, I'll take
I just want to make sure. I didn't have a chance to review it.
Goodness.
They provide an exhibit booklet, which includes a DENREC letter dated January 1, 2012, a DENREC land application permit number AGU 1202-5-03, effective January 1, 2012, a project development report prepared by Atlantic Resource Management Incorporated dated January 31, 2012, a Clean Delaware LLC letter dated August 13, 2012, and a series of location maps. That would be the one with a clip.
Okay.
I haven't seen the new booklet yet. Mm-hmm. We also received comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. The department had received letters of support on this application from Allen Heron Foods LLC, Severn Trent Services for the Board of Public Works at Lewis, the Town of Bethany Beach, Artesian Resources, Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated, Town of Bridgeville, LG Townsend or JG Townsend Jr. and Company, Eastern Shore Poultry, Ralph and Paul Adams Incorporated, the Town of Selbyville, and the Dogfish Head Craft Brewery. Their individual letters in support. We also received letters and emails in opposition from Jim and Jerry Meyer, Richard Watson, Lisa Morris, Carolyn and Robert Donovan, Laura and Stan Laverne, and Jeffrey Corman. And I apologize to anyone present if I said their name wrong, because I have a bad habit of that. So that's part of the record. You got more? Jerry Desmond was present on behalf of Clean Delaware LLC with Jim Fuquay, attorney, with Fuquay, Urey, and Willard Professional Association, Leif Erickson, soil scientist with Atlantic Resource Management Incorporated, and Chris McCabe of Coastal Compliance Solutions. They were all present and gave testimony. Brian Churchill, environmental scientist with DENREC, was also present and gave some testimony. We had <coughs> 20 parties that spoke in opposition rather than read all their names. And they did give testimony, and there was some response from the applicants and some response from Mr. Churchill on behalf of DENREC. On November 15, 2012, there was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration. That motion carried 4-0. Last Thursday, December 6, the commission again discussed this application under old business and again deferred action for further consideration. And that motion carried 5-0. So at the present state, this application is deferred in as far as action or recommendation from the commission. Since the November 15th, we have received letters in opposition from Kathy Kunkel, the Joyce Stout, and also notes Friends of the Donovans on Stokely Road in opposition. James and Nancy Boucher, and I just received another one from Dwayne Starkey, and all in opposition. And these I haven't read, so I have to pass those down.
Okay.
And that's all. And we did, just, you all have a copy of this in front of you, just provided by the applicant today.
I thought they had voted on it.
They deferred action.
But they have not voted?
They deferred action, and they deferred again last Thursday.
Okay, that's not what I heard. Okay, I know that.
They have not made a recommendation yet.
Uh-huh, all right, thank you.
That's all I have, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Any questions from council? If not, Mr. Fuqua?
Good afternoon, Mrs. Deaver, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuqua. I represent the applicant, Clean Delaware LLC, and I'll apologize right from the beginning that I will not be as short as Mr. Key was.
You could call me Councilwoman Deaver, too.
With me today is Jerry Desmond. Mr. Desmond is the general manager of Clean Delaware. Also, Leif Erickson, a soil scientist with Atlantic Resource Management, and Chris McCabe, with Coastal Compliance Solutions. The two packets that were submitted, the exhibit packet, these are some documents that I'll be referring to, and then the booklet that was submitted is basically a summary of the presentation as far as our conditional use application. This is a conditional use request to permit land application of Class B sanitary waste, non-sanitary food processing residuals, and wood or iron residuals, which for the sake of brevity, I'll be referring to as biosolids. This application is for county approval for the use of the land. The actual particulars of how the land application is operated is subject to regulations issued by the Delaware Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control, and is specifically subject to a permit issued by DENREC that sets forth the details and specifications as to the operation, including the type of biosolids that can be applied. As you know, biosolids are nutrient-rich organic materials resulting from the treatment of waste in treatment facilities. When treated and processed, these residuals can be recycled and applied as fertilizer to improve and maintain productive soils and to stimulate plant growth. The application of biosolids reduces the needs for chemical fertilizer or chicken manure use on farm fields. The site of this proposed use is on both sides of Macaulay Road, which is County Road 201. Macaulay Road comes off of Cedar Beach Road, and the site is approximately 1.5 miles northeast of Route 1 and the city limits of Milford. The site is owned by Lynn and Karen Macaulay. It's made up of several tax map parcels, contains a total of 259 acres. The land is mostly cleared farmland. There are several chicken houses on the property and also wooded areas. The land is zone AR1 agricultural residential. It's in the low density agricultural area under the comprehensive plan where agricultural uses are appropriate. Now, prior to filing this conditional use application, an extensive site evaluation was performed by Mr. Erickson of Atlantic Resource Management. A copy of the project development report, which is dated January 31st of 2012, is in the exhibit book as Exhibit C. In summary, Atlantic Resources studied the site for the proposed use. They determined the topography of the site. They mapped the soils. They determined the geohydraulic conditions, and they analyzed the soil characteristics. Now, based on that study, Mr. Erickson concluded that overall the project area is well suited for the proposed use given the state of Delaware criteria for land treatment of biosolids. And I'll refer to that report that's in the exhibit book for detail if you choose to review that. As to the applicant, Clean Delaware has been in operation for about 20 years. In Sussex County, they're in the business of waste removal and disposal in Sussex County. Clean Delaware currently operates three land application sites in Sussex County. Land application is, as I said, subject to very detailed regulation by the state. So again, this conditional use application is a land use application to permit that activity at this site. The actual control and regulation of land application is subject to both state and federal law. Under federal law, the land application is technically addressed by Part 503 of Title 40 of the Code of Federal Regulations, and that regulation created a standard for the use and disposal of sludge. Prior to 1989, thousands of American cities dumped raw sewage into rivers and lakes and the ocean. As a result of these federal regulations, ocean dumping was banned, and local governments, as you're well aware, are required to treat wastewater and to dispose of the residual treated biosolids by either incinerating it, burying it in a landfill, or recycling it as fertilizer. When it's applied in accordance with proper application rates, recycling of biosolids has several benefits. It replenishes the organic matter of soil that has been depleted over time. It improves crop growth and yield. It reduces the need for chemical fertilizers, thereby reducing production costs, and is considered both economically efficient and environmentally appropriate a method of disposing of these biosolids. The county is certainly familiar with the land application process. In both Kent County and Sussex County, the use of land application of biosolids is followed. One of the exhibits is just a picture of the Kent County site where biosolids are applied from the Kent County wastewater treatment plant that's located north of Milford. This is the plant that basically serves Milford, Delaware. And then the other one is the approved Sussex County South Coastal Wastewater Treatment Plant biosolids application site, which is located on the north side of Route 54 in southern Sussex County. And that site, again, is adjacent to other farmland. On a state level, which is really where the specific regulation occurs, Chapter 6003 of Title 7 of the Delaware Code requires a permit from DENREC for any disposal or land application of biosolids. And these are rather extensive regulations. These are the regulations that are issued by DENREC regarding land application. And specifically, Part 3 of those regulations address land treatment of sludge and sludge products. And Part 5 addresses land treatment of waste products. Clean Delaware currently holds a valid permit that's issued by DENREC, and that basically authorized them to operate land treatment system for the utilization of sludge and waste products. Clean Delaware's permit was issued, or at least the current version of it was issued on January 1st of 2012. It expires on December 31st, 2016, subject to renewal. That permit currently authorizes land application at three existing sites, and subject to approval of this conditional use application, that permit will be amended to include the site before you today, the McCauley site. The three existing sites where Clean Delaware is currently doing land application, one is the Milton Farm. That's a 216-acre parcel that's located east of Route 30, just north of Route 16. It's about 1 mile northwest of Milton. The Ellendale site is 100 acres. It's located on the south side of County Route 231. It's about 2 miles east of Ellendale. And the Harbison site is 30 acres. It's on the south side of Route 9, 500 feet east of Route 5, and it's right almost at the Harbison intersection. Now, land application that is that has been occurring at those sites and is currently occurring at those sites is the same process that is basically being proposed for the McCauley site. The DENREC permit authorizing Clean Delaware's activity is Exhibit B in the documents that I submitted to you. It's a 27-page permit. It's very detailed and comprehensive in its requirements. I'm not going to read it, but in summary, it controls the type of waste that can be disposed of through land application, the management and the rate of application. It addresses the crop plan requirements and restrictions on planting. It sets limits on land application based on soil analysis and weather conditions. It addresses the manner of application. It requires buffer zones. It requires the applicant to maintain and analyze conditions on the site, including monitor wells. It sets a bonding requirement. It requires specific record keeping and periodic reporting to DENREC. And the permit also provides for DENREC's right of entry and access for inspection and provisions for revocation of the permit for noncompliance with the conditions of the permit. And again, I would just refer you to Exhibit B, which is the permit in the exhibit book for more detail. Now, ultimately, what we're here today for is a conditional use. Again, as you know, the purpose of a conditional use is to provide for locations for uses that are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of Sussex County residents. The reason for this application by Clean Delaware, the reason we need this conditional use, is that Clean Delaware needs additional land for its land application disposal. So this need is not only desirable for Clean Delaware, but it's also absolutely essential for many businesses and municipalities who utilize Clean Delaware to dispose of their biosolids, and also the many employees of those businesses and the residents of those communities and municipalities who depend on Clean Delaware services. Again, in this exhibit book, there's a letter from DENREC that's dated January 1st of 2012. It's Exhibit A in the packet. It contains a list of clients that Clean Delaware is approved by DENREC to service. That list includes several Class B sanitary sludge providers, namely Allen's Foods at Harbison, the Purdue Georgetown plant, the towns of Bridgeville, Lewis, Milton, and Selbyville. Clean Delaware also disposes septage from Artesian Resources and Tidewater Utilities, community wastewater systems, Mobile Gardens, Mobile Home Park, and several other sanitation service companies. And Clean Delaware disposes of non-sanitary waste. This would be food processing residuals from Dogfish Head Craft Brewery, Eastern Shore Poultry Products, J.G. Townsend, Inc., Purdue Farms, Rappus Grapple, Inc., Ruse Foods, Inc., and restaurant trap waste and iron sludge from water treatment plants. In fact, Clean Delaware received an inquiry from Sussex County regarding their interest in pumping, hauling, and land applying 1.6 million gallons of biosolids from the Sussex County Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility. They were not able to pursue that because of existing commitments to its current clients. And as Mr. Lank stated, the record has many letters from customers confirming the essential need for the services that Clean Delaware provides. With that, what I'm going to do is turn the presentation over to Jerry Desmond. As I said, he's the general manager of Clean Delaware. He's going to describe the actual operation of the Clean Delaware's facilities and what would occur at the McCulley site. And he'll be followed by Mr. Erickson and Mr. McCabe, who will talk a little bit shortly, just a brief presentation as to some of the more technical aspects of the application.
Council members, good afternoon. I'm Jerry Desmond, the general manager of Clean Delaware, LLC. Thank you for allowing me to introduce Clean Delaware to you today. I would like to tell you who we are, how we operate, and our vision for the McCulley Farm, if accepted. We rent and service portable toilets in Sussex County. We pump septic tanks. We install and inspect septic systems as well. We clean grease interceptor traps in restaurants, schools, and hospitals. We clean storm drains, sewer lines, pump stations for municipalities and communities throughout Sussex County, and on many occasions have assisted these same municipalities in pumping efforts to abate and avoid wastewater disasters. We continue to work hand-in-hand with Sussex County Engineering as well. We handle processed organic residuals from chicken, brewery, and vegetable processing facilities. We handle processed, treated, Class B biosolids for our municipal treatment plants. And finally, we operate our own private wastewater treatment plant at our Milton farm, where we treat and dispose of septic system waste from ourselves and others. All of this is possible because we're fortunate to have 20 great employees, each of whom are offered health insurance, 401k, overtime, and a multitude of other benefits. In 1989, Clean Delaware began investigating the suitability of land application as a means of disposing treated organic products. These products would be used as a soil amendment and provide a portion of the fertilization needed to grow a crop. We were granted a permit from the state later that year and began receiving products for land application. Today, 23 years later, we continue to handle many of those same products utilizing the 264 acres on three farms in Milton, Ellendale, and Harbison. In those 23 years, Clean Delaware has never been in violation of our DENREC land application permit. In those 23 years, Clean Delaware has never contaminated a well. In those 23 years, runoff from a Clean Delaware farm has never polluted an adjacent water body. We are bonded, we are compliant, we're stewards of the environment. The current farmland remains a sustainable resource for our operation, but growth within our community requires that we seek more land. Data from the county shows over 25% growth over the past 10 years. In those 10 years, no additional land for biosolids application has been sought or approved, while the alternatives such as composting and dumping at the landfill are going away. In 2011, I began my search for more land. I faced many challenges. I wanted a place that was out of the way and not prone to ephemeral traffic. I wanted a place where I could get large trucks on and off the road and a place where trucks already travel. I wanted a place where I could stage an offloading site that was safe, secure, and obscure from view. Eventually, I came across Lynn McCauley, someone who I knew from years past. I knew he had a chicken farm outside of Milford. If the soils were conducive to our application, that farm would have great potential. Trucks larger than mine already frequented the site to service his and neighboring chicken farms. I could stage my operation behind the existing chicken houses and the manure shed. Currently, high power lines cross the property. The acreage is contiguous with woods, hedgerows, and provide a visual buffer for a large part of the land. And upon detailed inspection, it appears to be smack in the middle of almost 2,000 acres of farmland. Without previous knowledge of land application, Mr. McCauley was hesitant about the concerns I had about the impact on his land. Are there heavy metals? Will it affect well water? Am I regulated? Am I bonded, insured? Who else does it? I invited Lynn to see our operation and at work and to view the analytical data of the products that we receive. He was surprised that they are not nearly as potent as the chicken litter that's already being spread on his farm. I gave him a copy of our DENREC permit and showed him the regulations that we must follow. I pointed out the wells we use to monitor water quality and observe water table depth. We walked the farm to dispel any concerns one might associate with our operation. I showed him our equipment, the fields that where we recently applied, the fields where we're now working. He saw how we operate, he met our men, he viewed our best management practices. As per his questions, our heavy metal loading is minimal, and in assessing a detailed soil investigation that we had done in 2009, a summary reveals that no substantial change in trace metal concentrations has occurred over the past 19 years. Independent well testing reviewed and analyzed by DENREC over the years from our monitoring wells has indicated no danger or impact on water quality. DENREC regulates and oversees all of our activities through our land application permit. We are bonded through the state. We have a $1 million liability insurance coverage with a $5 million umbrella, $6 million in total coverage. Who else applies? Sussex County does, Kent County does, the city of Rehoboth, Georgetown, to name a few. This practice is by no means new or untested. Around the first of the year, we signed a landowner's agreement, and I began pursuing the necessary soil testing of the land. Later, the soil scientist we have will explain his findings and answer questions regarding the suitability of the soils. With the acquisition of the tillable 165 acres on the McCulley farm, along with our current 264 acres, we will be utilizing the McCulley farm approximately 38% of the time that we operate. The farm soils have been analyzed to provide the state with benchmark readings for nutrients and metals as well. Fields at the McCulley farm will be sectioned off into six sections ranging from 26 to 33 acres. Only one section will be actively applied on at a time. The six new sections will fall into a rotation with our existing nine farms, allowing us to work 15 pieces of ground throughout the year. When we leave a specific field and go to a new section, the farmer is notified of the deficient loading of that field so that he may address the fertilization needs properly to grow a crop. We will leave that field for at least one growing season. One or two fields will always be out of summer production, and one or two fields will be utilized throughout the winter and will have no cover crop. All the fields will be in a rotation of corn, soybeans, and wheat. Prior to receiving any product, the generating facility, that being Purdue, the City of Lewis, J.G. Townsend, whomever, is required to collect samples to be sent out and tested annually. Analytical data from the laboratory is thoroughly reviewed through DENREC to determine if it meets the Class B sludge criteria, metals loading, and nutrient values. Limits to our application also account for mineralization over 4 years. Any product we receive must have data confirming that a process to significantly reduce pathogens has been met. Information from the lab analysis shows us how to follow a protocol where we can apply this product at agronomic rates. By knowing the profile of the product applied, we can accurately monitor and control our application for the best use of the land. This information is reported annually to DENREC and subsequently forwarded to the EPA. A buffer, explained in full later, will be planted around the exterior of the farm, exceeding the standards set by the state to intersect, treat, and prevent potential runoff. In short, no surface water runoff will infiltrate within the root zone, no surface water runoff or infiltrate within the root zone will leave the subject site. Furthermore, the land treatment site will not further impair groundwater quality with respect to oxygen, bacteria, nitrogen, or total phosphorus. Water quality over the project area will be monitored by Clean Delaware through monitoring wells and tested by a third party. Clean Delaware will agree to disclose the water quality information to a committee of neighbors if requested at the time of DENREC reporting. Monitoring wells will be placed throughout the property, and per our permit, a phosphorus site index will address in writing the measures that we take to control potential storm runoff through our best farming practices. Limitations of the ground include groundwater, slope, contour, and being a good neighbor, which will restrict application on some parts of land at some times. In general, Clean Delaware drivers transport products from various facilities to our farms in Sussex County. Biosolids and residual byproducts are received in both liquid and dewatered cake form. Working the land includes either disking to incorporate the product into the ground or subsurface injection to reduce vectors, eliminate potential earthy odors, and provide an aesthetically pleasing appearance. Following our application, the land is prepared for planting using standard farming practices. The successful tracking of the land application depends on the effective monitoring. The monitoring process includes numbered fields, usually about 30 acres, designed to track linear application across a field. Tracking the application data is critical to cumulative loading and consistent crop yield. Our farm technicians are trained, motivated, and properly supervised to ensure best farming practices. Clean Delaware will use the following application procedures. For subsurface injection, drivers arrive at a predetermined stage at the farm. The product is pumped off a tanker through a flexible hose and into a liquid injection spreader. Clean Delaware uses chisel injectors to subsurface inject to a depth of 8 inches below ground level. Our injection always meets or exceeds permitted depth to seasonal high water levels, which we monitor throughout the year. Application across the field are made at agronomic rates, logged and recorded. For surface spreading, products are delivered to the farm and dumped onto a contained pad in a dry cake form. A loader is used to fill a manure-type spreader. The application is applied evenly across a field at agronomic rates, then logged and recorded. Following the spreading and prior to leaving the farm for the day, the product is disked into the ground at appropriate depth. Site inspections are conducted on a periodic basis and as deemed necessary by DENREC. The inspections are performed in accordance with our state permit. Trucks are staged and offloaded to avoid spilling or tracking of the material off the site. Furthermore, no long-term storage will be located at this site, so truck traffic and facility use will be limited to those times conducive to best farming practices and not immediately before, during, or just after a forecasted weather event. An average of 2 to 4 trucks will typically visit this farm daily while it is in active use. In some cases, as many as 6 trucks may routinely visit the site during a busy day. Every load of product we take has a paper trail documenting volumes we receive, where we received it, who applied it, when it was applied, our yearly biosolids and residual reporting details, all the loading and crop calculations, and is electronically sent and reviewed by DENREC. I can answer any questions now, and then I would gladly pass this on to Leif Erickson to discuss soil suitabilities and Chris McCabe to discuss the proposed buffer zone and construction of a berm.
Well, I have a question. Your Milton farm on 16 and 30,
mm-hmm.
Is that buffered? Is that a lot of buffering between that and the road and houses and whatnot?
Our buffer includes a 25-foot planted strip of grass that we mow.
Grass?
Yes.
Because I get a lot of complaints. That's my district.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of complaints. People can't believe what goes on. That's what they tell me. So, okay, just wanted to find out what kind of shelter or buffer that was between
sure.
what's being, you know, the farm and the folks that go up and down that road, 16 and 30, pretty
mm-hmm.
pretty heavily mm-hmm. traveled roads. Okay, thank you.
No cover crop?
We will have a cover crop everywhere except for where we're applying in the winter.
At the time. Why? Where did you get the idea of 8 inches in the ground?
We, our permit requires that we stay a minimum of 20, there's a 20-foot buffer between where we inject and the high water table. We've never gotten near that level. But by injecting it into the ground, if you look on the top picture over there to the left and in our booklet, there are a couple pictures. By that, we're able to incorporate this liquid into the ground, and usually if there's anything that comes to the surface, it's injected in the surface and kind of incorporated in the soil within the first hour of application.
Well, the reason I'm asking, because if I was applying chicken manure, I wouldn't want to put it down. I'd rather have it on top. I'd rather have a cover crop there so this product can be utilized by the cover crop.
Mm-hmm.
You have no cover crop fire, you have no root system to pick up what nitrogen you are putting on. I think you're almost defeating the purpose here. And this is part of the natural resources program, I'm pretty sure, because I see it on other places. But I would prefer a cover crop on top, spread on top, which are very close to the top, instead of getting it closer to the drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
The lower you put it, the closer. And by putting it 8 inches down only means you got to have a deeper root system to pick up what you put down.
Right.
But it needs to be very shallow as far as I'm concerned.
Right. A lot of that fluid through, we have like a 5-plow system.
Yeah, I understand.
We'll come up, but that's...
I understand the old saying,
yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind. I understand that. But we're talking about drinking water here, and we're talking about things it needs to be up where we can utilize this, and it'd be up more practical and more safer. See, mm-hmm. we're talking about safety of these people that's using this water, whoever's around, including myself. It was always, I was in this program, I was in this thing years ago. Always keep it near the top. Let your root system pick it up. And not having no cover crop doesn't make sense. I don't understand that. Okay. Anyway, I understand that you can have a cover crop if you're going to chill it all the time. I understand that too. Mm-hmm. But I think that, I don't know if natural resources would look at this different, but it's been my argument for a long time.
Right. We're not doing it correctly. We're not required to, the only thing that we're required to disk in at that level is the biosolids. For the most part, that's what we receive from the town of Selbyville. Most of the other products that we subsurface inject, if we get something from Eastern Shore Poultry or from Dogfish Head Brewery or from Ruse Food, we do it, and that's not a high nitrogen content type of material. We do it simply to abate any type of smell. I know that in the past people have said, hey, you know, I smell this when I'm driving. I said, that's not my farm. But we do this just to go an extra step. It's more horsepower. It's more energy. It's more money. But it's we just think it's
all about the odor. It's not necessarily the best product.
Could I ask that anyone speaking go to the microphone as much as possible? I just had a note. We do have people to watch on the internet as well, and they can't hear if we're seated back from the microphones.
I think it's me. I
don't know who would do that.
I have one question. You stated that you go in 8 inches so that you keep a 20 foot,
we have a minimum 20 inch.
20 inch.
That's the minimum. That's why we have observation wells to look at the depth to water. And we've never come close to that. That would be a high seasonal high water table type of condition.
Okay.
We do have some farms that we avoid because of that 20 inches in the wintertime.
Okay. Any other questions from council?
Help me understand some things, please. Why is it that all this waste is being brought to my district where some of these, you have Selbyville, you have other users, are there any farms anywhere else south of Milford could accept this?
Well, we have three south of Milford. I can speak a little bit to profiles of soils if anybody in here has constituents that complain about the type of septic system that they're required to put in. When you go further south, for instance, below the Indian River, there's higher water tables, worse soil. When you go west of Seaford, there's more clay, so it's not as good for this application. So it's really the quality of the soils that make this operation work. That's kind of that's a large part of what we're looking for. More than anything else.
There's a lot of undeveloped land in Sussex County, a lot, and I don't understand that. Of course, I'm not in your business. What is biosolids? Is that sludge?
Biosolids would be anything that contains human waste.
Human waste?
Yes.
At what point?
And that's a treated...
Raw? I mean,
no,
out
that,
of the
I'm sorry.
Septic truck or what?
No, that would... A biosolid would not be from a septic truck. Necessarily, a biosolid would be something from a treatment plant where it's undergone some type of practice to
solids
reduce
after the treatment.
Yeah, so uh-huh. I mean, in simplest terms, it might be an aerated tank, mm-hmm. or it might be a sand bed, and those qualities must be met and documented before we can receive them. So, the city of Lewis has biosolids. They have to show DENREC that, you know, it stays at a certain temperature for 20 days and a certain other temperature for 40 days before they can bring this to me or what have you.
When did you start in this area? When did you begin using this particular area?
We've been on the same farm since 1989.
1989.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to know. What about chicken plants? What do they what do you get from the chicken plants that you put on the fields? What condition is the material in? What is it?
The chicken plant material is is most of our cake material. And that will be something that's about 12 to 16% moisture. It would be, it'll be thick enough that you could make a ball with it, but you can still see that some moisture in it. And it's part of the process of producing chickens. They run this basically fat through a belt press, and they dewater it. They take the water out, so the water goes down a stream, and this product goes to my farm. And that's the majority of what we take would be from Purdue Farms in Georgetown and from Allen's. Purdue Farms is in Georgetown is a non-sanitary product. Allen Family Food or Allen Hiram Foods now would be considered a sanitary or biosolid product because they run their bathrooms in their plant into their treatment plant. So even though it's a small portion of total what we receive in those biosolids, it has to be accounted for.
Why? All right. So is this operation anything similar to the Blessings operation in that area, Anything similar
absolutely
to Bruce
not.
Blessings?
I know what you're alluding to. What he was taking was compost, and we don't do any composting.
And he's making compost.
He's taking this product, mm-hmm. blending it with some type of carbon source, whether it be wood chips or hay or so forth, stirring it up. Of course, every time you stir it up, you activate the anaerobic parts of that pile. That's what that's what smells. That's what brings on flies. But we don't do anything. We don't do anything like that.
Well, you have plenty of flies in the Milford area, I can tell you that, from the people that come and complain to me about it. What is the meaning of septage?
Okay, septage would be something that basically would be excluded from what I would like to do on the McCulley farm, but septage would be a product that comes out of a septic tank or holding tank or some type of facility that doesn't have a treatment plant. And for us, for Clean Delaware, septage means we can go to a house that hasn't had their septic tank pumped for 3 years or 5 years or maybe never, and we take that product and we run it through a process in our plant where we separate all the inorganic material, and then we add lime, and we bring the pH of this material up to 12, circulating it for at least 2 hours. And once it's been circulated for 2 hours, any pathogens, any type of hepatitis, polio, diphtheria, typhoid, all that scary stuff would be either stabilized or killed. Mm-hmm. At that point in time, from our process, we spray irrigate out onto our fields, a hay crop, and what settles or decants from this process, we land apply onto our own fields.
Mm-hmm. Are there any chemicals that come in from the waste from the water treatment plants that remain and would be being applied to these fields?
The only chemical that we take from a plant, and this is not even a chemical; it's a mineral, would be water treatment plants, not wastewater treatment plants, but a water treatment plant, let's say, and specifically south of Indian River. Where iron is high, so if you don't have some type of treatment, you make your sidewalks red. Those facilities down there, and there are quite a few of them, take the iron out of their drinking water, and they turn that into a sludge.
Right.
And that's a product that we take and land apply.
It doesn't hurt anything.
No, mm-hmm. it's not a significant product that we take, and it really doesn't have a significant benefit or detriment mm-hmm. to the soil at the rates that we apply.
Thank you for your patience. I just one more question. This is not my field. Grease, how can you put that on a field and then grow something?
Good question.
I don't understand that.
All right, this is like teaching a real estate course, but that's fine.
I'd like to know.
Grease is a huge detriment to wastewater treatment plants.
Right.
So treatment plants definitely do not want grease as part of their plant. And that's why they require restaurants, et cetera, to have these interceptors to remove the grease.
I understand.
When we put it out in the field, it breaks down when it comes in contact with the microbes in the soil.
It does. Okay. I didn't know that.
And that's something else that we like to inject. I guess the best method of applying grease is actually to spray it out of a truck on top of the ground. There's a chance that you could have flies with that, or you could have odor with that. So that's another one of those materials that we like to inject.
The food waste. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. If there are no other questions, you indicated you had another witness.
Yes, Mr. Leif Erickson.
Discovered something.
Good afternoon. My name is Leif Erickson, and I'm certified by Denrec as a soil scientist and a percolation tester. And I have one additional license that's required nationally to do this type of work, which is as a certified professional soil scientist and soil classifier. We started this project by doing a required study, the soil section of a project development report. We did 65 soil borings and 10 test pits on the site. Included in the test pits, you'll see, is a permeability test called a double ring infiltrometer. We ran 6 of those over the site. We mapped the soils based on agricultural drainage class into well-drained soils, moderately well-drained soils, and soils that would need to be avoided and not applied to. We also mapped all of the domestic water wells and irrigations within a quarter-mile radius and a half-mile radius. That information is included on that map there over there on the right side. As part of our study, we also have to have Denrec personnel on site, their soil scientist, and then also Brian Churchill, who oversees this agricultural utilization of biosolids program. And they both gave us Denrec field approval at that time. That was January 5th of this year. We're presently waiting on the outcome of this conditional use hearing process to move forward with that Denrec approval. You can see within the soil profiles here, if you will, what makes this site particularly well-suited for this project are the loamy soils that are on the site. Most commonly in Sussex County, you have about a 2 to 3 foot sandy veneer underlain by coarse textured soils.
Excuse me, do you mind going back to the microphone?
I'll just repeat that briefly. What makes this site particularly well-suited, the McCauley Farm, the 180 acres there within the project area, are the fine textured soils. Not only are there loamy soils in the upper portion of the site, but also they're dominated in the stratum and substratum of the site. There's over 18% clay within that range of the soil. More commonly in Sussex County, you have a 2 to 3 foot sandy veneer underlain by coarse textured sediments, and that can be bad for this type of use in that you have more leaching potential for the byproducts from this land use. The other thing that makes this site particularly well-suited are the deep groundwater levels. There's both a deep average seasonal high water table and average and maximum groundwater tables. The maximum site elevation is 30 feet above sea level, and the minimum areas proposed for this land application would be 6 to 8 feet. There are average elevations between 16 and 20 feet. There's actually quite a bit of elevation on this site. And there is topography on the plan that is included with our report.
How many feet above sea level?
A little bit difficult to see from afar, but there is topography on there showing quite a bit of range of elevation. After application of the treated, it's important to note that these are treated biosolids. The materials are quickly absorbed into the soil, volatilized, and decomposed. Pathogens die quickly in unsaturated soils. As Jerry mentioned, there can't be any groundwater table within 32 inches of the surface at the time of application. That allows for a 20 to 24 inch unsaturated zone thickness for the die-off of those pathogens. He will be regulated by Denrec as to the timing of his application. There can't be any application within 24 hours of a significant precipitation event or following that precipitation event. Those things mitigate the issues associated with the leaching of any nitrates. These facts limit the risk of this land use to the food chain or any groundwater degradation. With regards to the accumulation of heavy metals with time, my former business partner, Lisa Wood, did a study of Jerry's three other farms about 3 years ago and found that in the up to 20 years that they've been applying to those sites, there's been no significant accumulation of heavy metals, especially when you weigh that against what the ceiling concentrations are from Denrick. So the heavy metals is a non-issue. Being adjacent to the Mispillion River requires several considerations. First, to discuss the floodplain issue. The floodplains are added to both maps on either side, and there are no areas proposed for land treatment within any floodplain or flood zone. The areas that are proposed for treatment are in flood zone X. Those areas have a 1% chance of flooding, and there's no flood insurance required if for building structures and that type of thing. The next consideration is that along the tributaries, the Mispillion River runs with the left side of the frame there, using that example, and then there's an unnamed tributary that comes through the other side, the other annex of the farm. Both of those tributaries and the river are both shielded by a timber operation, and it varies in widths from anywhere from 75 to 500 feet. And the best possible scenario is actually having an established wooded buffer in those areas. Clean Delaware has agreed to go beyond the legal limits to 150 feet along those tidal and non-tidal portions of that waterway. And what makes trees particularly good at attenuating nutrients is the fact that they don't go dormant when your agricultural crops do, and they have a much larger effective rooting zone than an agricultural crop. In conclusion, Denrick requires a very specific monitoring of both the soil and the groundwater with their permit. Clean Delaware has made a concession that if there were a committee of neighbors that wanted to step forward, they would release these findings at the time of the required Denrick reporting. If they went out of compliance with their permit, Denrick would immediately require them to cease their operation, and they would not be allowed to move forward. To speak to the one point earlier, Mr. Wilson, the agronomic rates that he would be injecting at that, when you take into account the amount that will be volatilized and decomposed in the soil, it wouldn't go above the Denrec or EPA limits for leaching for that potential within the root zone, in my professional opinion.
I think you're right, but I just think it's a better practice the other way.
Available for any questions, of course.
Questions of council?
I understand that you have good intentions and you would inspect as often as possible. And if there was anything wrong, that you would deny permits. But in that area, we've had problems with Denrick not doing that. And how do we know that that won't happen in this area? How do we know? You know, that's my background from having to deal with you know, people complaining because certain operations are not complying, and they're getting their permits anyway from Denrick. So, you know, I have to understand where I'm coming from. And I know you mean well, and I'm sure you follow the rules, but I'm not sure they all get done. And, of course, I have plantations in my district, too, where we had a leaking system for 7 years, and Denrick didn't inspect it. So I get a little nervous when you say Denrick.
Sure. My national license requires me to protect public health and environmental quality. I've worked with Denrick and in Sussex County since 1995, regularly with septic systems. These projects are more infrequent, but I wouldn't be able to support this project professionally if I didn't think that it met the requirements of Denrick and that of the county. And there's not one proven case when, with a well-managed site in accordance with Clean Delaware's known reputation, of any health outbreak or any human disease related to this land use.
I'm sure you think you say it's a good location. It's a good, the soil and whatnot, that's good. Are there other locations in the county that would be good?
This is the best I've seen as far as a private entity bringing a project forth.
You've looked
with
at
regard
all
to the depth of the groundwater table, with regard to the fine loamy soils, and with regard to the general rural density that's there. I'm currently working with Kent County. They have a very good site as well, but the sites tend to be dictated by the land that becomes available over being able to be selected from an environmental quality standpoint. But of the sites I've looked at for Sussex County or individual uses, you know, this site is within, you know, the 90th percentile, 100 being great.
This site was begun in 1989. There are a lot of new people living there now. Things have really changed there. A lot of new homes, new communities. It's not the same as it was when Clean Delaware started on these farms here, when they started. So.
Yeah, this project has been farmed since 1937. Mm-hmm. We looked at the aerial photography. There's none that we researched or known available before that time frame. And I think that there's certainly, with the project as it's proposed today, there'll be no further degradation of the soil or groundwater quality from the point where it exists today. The timber has been in the same configuration as it has since 1937. There may be some properties that have been built around the farm. I know of one specifically where I did the site evaluation for the Grant family on Macaulay Road there. But yeah, that'll be a concern that'll be addressed by the buffers and by the management plan.
Well, the Milford farm has no buffers, just grass.
This project, I don't want to step on Chris's toes, but it'll be addressed real shortly as to what Clean Delaware is going to take a step up beyond with this farm. I think that'd be a good lead-in for Chris.
I got one real quick question. My extent of my knowledge and all this stuff would be, it's about odor. If it smell, do we have an odor problem with these types of operations? I know there's low density in this area, which is probably beneficial, but in Sussex County, because we don't have just a strict agricultural district like they do in other counties where you can only have maybe one house per 20 acres or one house per, you know, whatever, 50 acres. In Sussex County, you can take any farm and you know, go to the subdivision route and get homes on it. It could be a residential. So I hate to put something in an area that would maybe have a detrimental effect on the residential component of our agricultural residential district. So do these operations have an odor problem? Mm-hmm. Over and above, say, I know agriculture in general has odors associated with it. Are there a different type of odors? Are there odors associated with this operation? Let me just start with that.
Jerry would be better suited to address that from an actual practical standpoint, in that I haven't been on his farms, you know,
okay,
every day.
Right. Okay,
I would say that within 24 hours from the land application, based on a soils perspective, that those biosolids will be either adsorbed or that fractional volatilized that's going to, or decomposed.
Okay.
So I don't see much odor beyond that part. That's my professional opinion.
All right, get an odor specialist up here.
Would you like me to address that?
It'd be fine. Anybody, that would be my area of concern, because a number of years ago, farmers were growing houses. And so any of these farms in the area could have been growing some houses because housing was so, you know, you could put them anywhere and people would buy them.
Mm-hmm.
That's come to a halt now for a while. But still, in the back of their mind, some of these farmers may say that, you know, I'd like to develop my farm someday. And we do permit that in Sussex County. So how could your operation have a negative effect on the potential for neighboring property owners to develop their property?
With what we proposed to do with this Macaulay farm,
mm-hmm.
we should have negligible odors, and nothing should leave the farm. Currently, I don't know if Councilwoman Deaver, like we land apply across the street from the estates of Beaver Creek. I don't know if ever trails of Beaver Creek, rather, on Route 9. I don't know if anybody has complained about odor over there before. We're right next to New Market Mobile Home Park and across the street in Ellendale.
You mean the clamshells?
No, not, no, I'm just, in fact, that's not ours.
Uh-huh.
We don't.
Uh-huh. All right, I know.
We don't belong to any clam shells.
I haven't gotten any complaints.
Well, I guess where I'm going is the odor that would potentially be present that we work to abate on our current farm is from the septic operation and the wastewater plant that would not follow us to this. Most of these products that we handle, we were in a tank in the town of Lewis in the bottom of a digester with a squeegee, pumping this stuff out a couple weeks ago, and there's no odor in there. If you stand next to something that we get from Allen's or from Purdue, there's no odor on there. I've invited folks out to the farm, and I'd certainly invite any of you who'd like to see or smell. There's very, very little odor. The unfortunate part about my job and what we do is we handle just one product, and that's the septage, and we spray irrigate the effluent. That's probably 95% of our odor. There might be a pungent smell from brewery waste that we handle, and occasionally I would say the restaurant grease trap waste, which that's why we send it underground. That's really the only thing that we handle that has an odor. In terms of what would ever smell out there, if I stockpiled for several weeks material that came from Allen Family, like the dry product, because I cannot stockpile liquid, there would be a potential odor, and we don't have any intention of any long-term storage. I'm on my ninth year here at Clean Delaware. When we had a lot of snow several years ago, that was about as tough a condition we had to store, and that was, about 2 weeks before we could, really do anything with any product. So I will say no odor will leave this farm, and Denrec will tell you that no odor shall leave my farm because they're the ones who call me to meet an enforcement officer if it does.
And you're saying there's odor on the Milton farm because there's not adequate buffer? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's not a buffer. It would be if there was drifting, if there's wind. So we shut down. We're cognizant of that,
mm-hmm.
and in fact we're working to step up that treatment process.
That would be very nice.
I would love to make you happy.
Also, how many times would you be going to these farms? I know once a crop starts growing, do you still bring some product in?
Well, that Macaulay farm would be basically six sections. So there might be, we use one section, and let's say we're there for 3 weeks and we leave it. We go to another farm, and we're there for 3 weeks, and we leave it. And if we can put a cover crop in, we do. Or if it's just prior to the planting season, then we plant it. And then once we leave that Macaulay farm, we're going to be gone for 60% of our time. And we'll be back in Harbison or Milton or Ellendale. So,
a rough estimate, how many days a year would you be working on the Macaulay farm?
A high estimate would be 100 days a year.
100 days a year, okay.
And I will preface that by saying that would be over if it's 40% of our operation, that's actually over a year and a half. Because once we leave there, we'll be gone for, let's say 120 days before we come back.
Because once you apply something, you can't apply anything back.
We're done,
right?
Yeah.
You're done. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, so we're not trying to replace anything that we do now. We're just trying to extend what we have so that we can continue to grow.
And you're leasing this land, or are you buying?
Yes,
you're
leasing it.
And the lease is for how long?
It's a five-year lease.
Five-year lease.
Mm-hmm.
You indicated there was another witness as well, I believe.
Yes, Chris McCabe from Coastal Compliance would like to speak on the potential abatement of surface water runoff, berm creation, and a swale.
Good afternoon. Thank you. I'm sorry to give you the bobblehead, but I'm going to use this drawing and then refer to the photos, so bear with me here. But thank you for the opportunity. My name is Chris McCabe. I work with Coastal Compliance Solutions. I'm the owner. As Mr. Erickson indicated, the Macaulay Farm has good soil types that allow for the infiltration of surface and subsurface drainage. there was some concerns raised at the planning and zoning meeting from the neighbors regarding buffers and surface water runoff. And in an attempt to address those concerns, Clean Delaware is taking the initiative to go above and beyond what the DENREC buffering requirements would be and install. And if you'll see the top left photo, that's a sample buffer photo, which would be 35 feet wide of switchgrass that gets to be 7 to 8 feet tall. I mean, that would line, if you see the green, the perimeter of the properties to allow the additional surface water runoff interception of that 35-foot strip. So the rain falls on the field and surface water drains in that direction on the downslope side as one abatement issue, not only for water quality, but for a visual break.
And does switchgrass have is noted to be a material that really takes up?
It is. Any of the warm season grasses, switchgrass, big blue stem, Indian grass, those are all recommended by the NRCS, the USDA, and through Delaware Department of Agriculture as a buffer strip planting. Along with that, we've also proffered to install a bermed swale along the downslope side of the property. And you'll see that at the southeasterly side of the property, which is the long piece along the neighboring property line, and also along the roadway along McCulley Farm. A lot of the neighbors had addressed or had brought up concerns about surface water migrating that way, and we want to intercept it if there even is an issue, and have it infiltrate, and in hopes to not have any surface water leave the site and go into those properties. And just kind of in layman's terms, the perimeter berm swale would be an excavated swale a foot deep, and then take that stockpile of dirt and put on the other side. So you'd create a hyperbole with a wall and then a swale and then the grass planted within it and 35 feet landward of it. So, like we were trying to abate the concerns of the neighbors in regards to that surface water runoff. The rainfall that falls, this particular BMP best management practice will contain most of the 10-year rainfall events, and there are approximately 5 inches of rain over 24 hours in this area. So with the good soils, the ability to infiltrate that water is present, therefore abating the runoff to the neighboring properties.
Is there any known water puddling or your ponding on there now after large rains, or does it pretty much disappear?
It's typically all infiltrated. Mr. Erickson can speak to the infiltration rates, but within 24 hours of a normal rainfall event.
But is there any, I don't know, you have not been involved, but is there a history of water being there a couple days after a big storm?
Yeah,
it would leak to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know?
Yes, there is one area.
If you could wait till you get to your microphone, please.
Microphone around in Everett. Push that one on the end right up on that corner there. They can talk right into that.
Oh, great. There is one area mapped within the project area that was holding water, and I actually got my Jeep stuck when I was doing the work. And that area is right here. That area is right in this area here. And Jerry will be strictly regulated on when he can apply to that area. There'll be a monitoring well in that area or two, and the groundwater will have to be below 32 inches, and that'll limit that to a seasonal type application when he gets into that zone. In general, most fields of 180 acres in Sussex County are littered with ditches, either on the property lines or serially ditched through the side of it. This property has not a single ditch within it, so that speaks to how well drained it is.
That's a very good point, to make that, there's no artificial drainage installed on site. Therefore, by installing that perimeter best management practice, it will abate any surface water from leaving the site on the downstream side. In regards to environmental quality, that buffer strip planted along the riparian side of the apply area will intercept any surface water that may make its way towards the creek or towards the river.
Yeah, thank you. No questions?
Thank you.
That is all the witnesses that we'll have. I just have a few more words, and then we'll be done. I submitted to Mr. Moore some proposed conditions. These are the conditions that we submitted to Planning and Zoning. As you know, Planning and Zoning has not made a recommendation on this application yet. In summary, the conditions basically state that this operation would be in compliance with the Denrick permit, that this conditional use would terminate if that permit expires or is terminated by Denrick, that the land application activities would be limited to the hours of 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, that no land application materials would be stockpiled on the site for longer than 7 days. And the purpose of that would be if something is brought in and delivered there, it would have to be, it wouldn't obviously be dispersed immediately, but it would have to be done within 7 days to avoid any long-term type stockpiling. Mrs. Deaver, I would have to say, I'm certainly not going to be one to defend Denrick. That's not my job. But as you stated, there's times when you've had problems with Denrick, but I also do want to point out that in this very area, this is where the Blessing compost operation was. That operation was producing smells and odors and nuisance problems in the area. And that permit was revoked by Denrick, and they did shut that operation down. So
it's totally shut down?
That's my understanding. It's shut down.
Well, that's not what I was told, but I'll have to check on that. I'll check
understanding is our permit has been revoked. And, of course, from the testimony that's been presented, I think we've addressed and explained the operation. We also tried to address a lot of the concerns and objections that were raised at the planning and zoning hearing, and that I assume will be expressed when the people here today in opposition to this speak. So when you hear the opposition, I would ask you to bear in mind that we've addressed the traffic. As Mr. Desmond stated, we're talking about on average 2 to 4 trucks per day, a maximum of 6 trucks per day, and that is only when that the biosolids are being applied to that area. So the traffic is very, very minimal. To address the stormwater concerns with runoff, as was stated, Mr. McCabe indicated these buffers are in excess of what Denrick requires on this permit. Basically, they'll be provided basically around the perimeter of the site. They're going to be buffered with grasses that, again, will remove any runoff and nutrients that's coming off the site. And there'll be a berm swale provided along the western boundary of the site and along McCulley Drive that basically would ensure that there would be no water escaping onto the adjacent properties there or farm fields. Mr. Desmond mentioned, in addition to the bond that Denrick requires, which they obviously have to provide, Clean Delaware does have a $1 million liability insurance policy with an umbrella additional coverage of $5 million. So there is something standing behind Clean Delaware in terms of if there was any type of event that caused liability on their part that they would be responsible for. And again, most importantly, this conditional use would only be valid if Clean Delaware is operating under the valid Denrick permit. If that permit is suspended, terminated, invalidated in any way, this conditional use stops on the spot. And again, as I said, I would ask you to bear that in mind when you hear the concerns that are expressed by the opponents. Finally, this is zoned AR1. It's an area for agricultural activities. This is an agricultural activity. The AR zone specifically recognizes land application as a conditional use in the AR zone. Obviously, conditional use requires your approval, but the fact that it is a conditional use, it's recognized as being an appropriate use subject to safeguards, which, again, we think the conditions would cover. As I said before, this isn't just something for the benefit of Clean Delaware. This is the business they're in, but they're in that business because there's a need for their business, and that need for their business is related to employers and businesses of Sussex County and towns of Sussex County that basically have these treatment facilities, and this biosolid that's left from that, the sludge, has to be dispersed of somehow. In fact, it's no different than the business that you're in. You are basically land appliers. I mean, you know, so I'm telling you, we want to do what you do is basically what it amounts to. So,
you want to be like us.
This isn't that exotic an operation. It's something that's been going on for some time. And as I said, it's critical to businesses and residents of Sussex County. Clean Delaware's experience that you've heard, they've been in operation for 20 years. And as I said, DENREC runs basically the overall reviewing, control, monitoring, and enforcement of the regulations. So we believe that with the conditions that are proposed, that this is an appropriate location for an appropriate request, and we would ask for your approval. And that would conclude our presentation, subject to any questions you may still have.
Question is, if odors come from the Milton farm, what could be different up here that they wouldn't come from this?
All right,
because they do come from the Milton area.
Mr. Desmond's
people complain
probably
about the flies and the odor.
We wouldn't be running our wastewater facility operation on this farm. The plant where we take
septic. That's the difference?
That's mm-hmm. the difference, yes.
Mm-hmm. This is only okay. land application. There is no treatment facility here.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's quite different then.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm glad of that.
Okay. If there are no other questions, thank you, Mr. Fuqua, and you were right. You are longer than Mr. Key. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else that would like to speak in favor of the application? If not, is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to this application? I see a few hands, and why don't we start over here, come forward. I would ask everyone, as you're testifying and giving information, if you please try not to repeat something that someone already has said. It's okay to say ditto that. I agree with what some other speaker said, but try to bring up new issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Members of the council and madam, I'm Joseph Warnell, and I live in Lincoln, Delaware for the past 40 years. I own and control the dam on Clendaniel Pond, and Cedar Creek runs through my farm, and I own part of the land on Cubbage Pond. About 1 million gallons of water a day goes over my dam, so I'm cognizant of the rainfall in Sussex County, 1 inch a week, 2 inches, some weeks 3 inches. When 3 inches of water falls in Sussex County, it goes everywhere. It goes completely over the county. And I'm telling you that three inches of water will go down in the soil very readily on summer days and goes right on through and comes out and goes sideways. And so it will affect the wells of all these neighbors. And they may ignore that, but I'm telling you, in 40 years, I have studied the water flow, and it does go sideways very quickly. If I get a 3-inch rain in my watershed, which is about 212 acres or so, I get a lot of mud flowing down Cedar Creek. But on a shallow, say a slow rain, 3 inches over 3 days, it all goes straight down. The water flow increases, but there's no mud. So the danger of this witch's brew that they're disposing of, because nobody else in the world wants it, and they're disposing of it the wrong way. I'm a scientist, PhD, a long time ago. PhD in biochemistry, chemistry professor at Michigan. I've lectured at MIT, Harvard, Penn State, Ohio. And I have been a scientist all my life. A scientist does experiments. I don't hear the kind of experiments that we should hear. You should hear experiments about the microbiology of the water going down, carrying the bacteria, going sideways to the wells of the neighbors. I don't hear that. I don't hear it. As a scientist, I should hear it, because I can tell you that there are several states in the nation who have tried this same thing, biosolid waste, and have stopped because of health issues with neighbors. They've stopped. Several states have canceled this program, which is kind of experimental. It's an attempt to get rid of something that nobody else wants. The proper way to get rid of it, they're doing lime. Okay, lime is fine. Water, aqueous lime, pH 12, great. Mm-hmm. But they should boil it. If you boil this waste with pH 12, you would destroy all of the microbes. They don't do that. Bad thing. Secondly, they should burn it. It should be incinerated, because nobody wants it. So where could it be incinerated? Well, it could be incinerated lots of different ways. They could take it down to the coal-fired
Indian River Power Plant.
Indian River, and have them put it in slowly, it would disappear. There's a third way that they could get rid of it. One way would be to simply build a tunnel with radioactive waste readily available from spent fuel rods, run this stuff through the radioactivity, and it would sterilize it completely with no, essentially very little cost, because they simply could run it through as is. That's fairly sophisticated for them. They probably don't want to do that, but they should. I'm just telling you, I'm against it because of all these comments. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, would you sign that
What's
deed
his
in,
name?
Please?
What's his name?
Yes. Sir?
Warnow.
Next.
Okay,
but we'll take the gentleman just giving the maps. Oh, you're going to, okay.
I guess we're all same.
How about Everett? Everett Seaford, I think we should do that.
Okay, sir.
Garbage is in my district.
I'm William Pike. I don't know if you have this little sheet that was in.
And your address too, please, sir.
Milford, Delaware. This little sheet that came out in the notice, I think it's marked CU1946. It shows the land layout in that area. My piece is a little one by center way down on the left-hand side. For some reason, I was the only one that I can tell who was never sent a notice of these meetings of all these property owners. But my land is in direct line of all the runoff from this field. I'm going to explain why I'm here. As they just alluded to a little while ago, this field, part of it's like 30 foot above sea level. The low part's like 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good drop. And I can tell you this field, where the main part of that drop is, it's not over 400 or 500 yards from the high point to the low point. The low point is right there at the point on that little skinny part of my property where approximately 12 to 15 years ago, Macaulay Farms had soil conservation come in and dug a shallow collection pond to collect the water coming off that field. The backside of that pond, the overflow, goes directly into a tidal stream which runs right through the center of my property, which is wetland, marsh, and wetland forest. Approximately, I didn't get a chance to measure it, but it's no more than 600 yards from the back of that pond to the Mispillion River. Mm-hmm. Strictly straight shot, nothing breaking it up, nothing slowing it down. Every tidal change, it sucks all the water out, goes directly to the Mispillion River. Another thing, they alluded to the fact that there's forested land all around the edge on that backside. I'll take you down there and look if you want to where I'm talking about. There might be 30 feet of trees before you get to the wetland area where the stream runs through from the edge of this field. Now, another thing, my property... 5 years ago, I put it in soil in conservation easement in perpetuity to keep it wild and natural. It's overseen by DENRAC. We spent a total of over $600,000 on a marshland wetland restoration project that was overseen by the Federal Fish and Wildlife. They're the project manager. OSHA was in on it. NOAA was in on it. There's even a write-up on the restoration project in DENREC's wetland restoration booklet, a two-piece booklet that they put out about 5 years ago. There's a whole article on my project in there. Now, my thing is, I'm regulated as to what I can and can't do. If I want to spray an herbicide to get rid of an invasive plant, I have to tell them about it. Get their okay, get a certified applicator to put it on, yet they're proposing to run who knows what into that stream direct runoff. even if they put a 30-foot buffer of switchgrass or big blue stream or whatever, I have seen water coming down the back of that field in a summer storm running down between the corn rows. It looked like streams coming off the back, goes right into that pond, over the back, and right into the marsh. I've seen the water in my drainage ditch, that tidal ditch, turn yellowish brown from the runoff silt coming off that field. Now, I've owned this property since 1974. I hunted back there since 1968. I'm also an ISA certified arborist, so I know a little bit about nutrients and what picks up what and how many trees it takes to do what. Switchgrass, when you got a 4 inches of rain coming down approximately a 15-foot drop from 30 foot to 8 foot, if you've got a 3 or 4 inch rainfall coming down there, it's going to go right through the switchgrass. And they're talking about a 1 foot deep trench with the dirt behind it. That's nothing more than a plow furrow. You need more than that if you're going to stop that kind of water runoff. And if it goes into that ditch, where's it going to go? If it's a 2 foot deep ditch, you got 4 inches of water coming off a 100-and-some-acre farm, the ditch is going to overflow, go right in this pond, and right into the tidal stream that goes right to the Mississippi River and through my property. So I'm totally against it. I think you can probably analyze that from just what I've said. And like I said, I am regulated, and if something goes wrong on my property, I'm held responsible. $1 million or $6 million bond or insurance, if you have a major thing that the Federal Fish and Wildlife and DNREC and NOAA and OSHA says your conservation easement is in jeopardy, and we're going to fine you X amount because there's this, this, and this has been found in the stream and in these plants, I'm not doing it. And I don't want this whole deal to turn into something like another Love Canal where you've got monitoring wells in, say, 5 years from now. And one thing that wasn't mentioned, this is a 5-year contract with option to renew for 5. So there's a possibility of getting at least 10 years. Okay, so what happens, like the gentleman over here alluded to, the water goes down and goes sideways into these wells. 3 or 4 years from now, all of a sudden, somebody says, uh-oh, the count on this is too high. What are you going to do? Go around and buy up all these farms because they can't use their wells anymore? I don't think so. The money's not there.
Where did you live again? Show me on here.
I don't live there. I own it.
Okay, where do you own? Show me what you own. Can you just put an X on it or something, maybe? I'll get an idea where you're talking about.
I've been looking, too. I can't find it.
You can get the next speaker, Mr. President, if you want to bring him up. He can do that.
Near the river. Right by the, okay.
And the river's right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if you can be sure to sign in and the next speaker head up, please. Were you going to speak?
Okay. We'll see where his land is.
Here, right here. It's right. It's that little piece with no
that
name
dot,
on it.
That dot I just put on that map is where Bill's property is, right there, sir.
Okay. What's
that's
that?
That's where Bill's property is, right here.
Okay. Yeah. We have a map has no names on it. That's where we're looking for his name.
If you can give us your name and address, please.
Robert Donovan. I live on 21498 Shockley Road. I'm not a poultry farmer, but this is an active poultry operation here. And with trucks plus the employees coming in and out, you could have 5, 6, 8, 12 in and outs a day. disease control in a poultry operation is always an issue in Sussex County. I'm not a poultry farmer. I just thought I'd bring that issue up, you know. My wife's best friend lives right out by 30, and we go there frequently to outings at her pool and things like that. You fix a plate of food, you go inside and eat it. You don't dare sit outside and let 35 flies on your plate. And as far as the odor goes, sometimes when they're spraying, you have a time controlling your gag reflex. So that's giving you an indication what it's like. And I've experienced that myself. All right. And some of the ladies in the area, my wife's friend especially, she's had hung clothes on the line. The odor is so bad that she goes out and takes her clothes off the clothesline. Odor's so bad, she takes them back in the house, rewashes them, and dries them in the dryer. Turn your AC on, and there's been a few instances where she's told my wife where she turned the AC on and go in the house shut up, and you can smell the odor with the house closed up with the AC on. That stinks.
This is not your house. This is your saying
this
somebody.
This is my friend's. Yes, okay. Yes. They live right within a quarter mile. I mean, less than a quarter mile.
Not this site.
No, this is at 30. This is at 30. I'm just trying to get.
Okay, you're getting me confused.
What I'm getting to is this what we got to look forward to? I mean, and who did we complain to? I mean, I know they say they have these regulations and they have all this, but they're self-regulated. I mean, I've been a contractor pretty near my whole life. I mean, I always try to comply and everything else, but boy, sometimes if it comes between making a dollar or not, it's hard. You know what I mean?
Well, they claim they had a record, or they don't have any violations.
No, but how often does that rent come up on that property? Do they put on for?
I'm just saying, it hasn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's a periodic inspection. I'm quite sure Denrek don't have a guy that shows up there once a week. You know?
He does have somebody calls him.
Well, complaint-driven, like we are.
Well, and who do we complain to? I mean, if we have these odor issues, fly issues, and all this, who do we go to? I mean, do we go to this company that's doing it? And I mean, what do you do, man? This is my way of life. I lived here my whole life, and intend to stay here for the rest of it. You know, hopefully, if I can stand it. You know, but okay, I need to. Move on to the runoff issues. If I may use these folks' map right here, their map is incorrect. Is this on here? This property right here belongs to the Shockleys. Right through here. Right through that area. Actually, to get on that 30-acre piece right here, they have to go over a right-of-way that's owned by Shockley Farms. They own a strip all the way across the back of this wooded piece right here.
Well, there's an easement, right? So, I mean, they have access.
I don't know. They have access, but they're showing that woods and all that being part of the farm, which is not. I mean, it's not. It's owned by others. All
okay.
Right? Okay, the property that has the chicken houses on it, right here, I'll put a pin on that. The first pin is where the runoff comes off the front side of that farm. I own property right there, and it's... George Jester owns a house there. When we have a lot of water, water's been knee-deep right there across the road. It actually just runs. There's no ditch or anything. It runs right over the road, runs right around the corner over two properties on McCauley Road, and then it turns and runs over two properties on the Chocolate Road. State has installed a drain there on the road, and if it's operating, it does help alleviate some of the water. But most of the time, it runs over the road there also. And then it stops on the second dot is the Mills Farm. There's a ditch right there, and that's where it alleviates that runoff point on that section. right there in the east corner of that 30-acre piece. It falls to the southeast. The whole farm falls to that dot, basically. Where that dot is, there is tidal water within 30 yards of that dot right there. And that marsh runs right on around. So that's the issue with that piece. Now, right there with that 60-acre piece right there, it drains. There's like a swale. And the high point is actually this hedgerow where the two pieces of property are.
Tell me, use that mic right there by you, Everett.
Yes, you want to use that mic right there.
Stand right there, yeah.
That right there is like the high point of all those farms. It's right here. And there's a swale right there that goes towards Shockley's, and it dumps all this water out of this section onto the Shockley farm. And the state has a culvert under the road to take care of this water for the runoff issues. And, of course, then we've already talked about back here about Bill Pike. And Mr. Hammond lives back in here. He has some ponds that he's installed and made a beautiful place back there. Part of the runoff on this right here runs right up through this corner right here and goes across Mr. Hammond's and dumps directly into his pond. The majority of the runoff runs right over to Bill Pike's right through this right here and runs out that way.
Yeah, I think it should be in Kent County.
We have at least one good nor'easter every year, sometimes two, sometimes three. Buddy, when we have a nor'easter, we're looking at 5, 8, 10, 12 inches of rain. And, I mean, you're talking a lot of runoff. I mean, you can stand on the end of some of these fields and stand there with a pair of boots on. It's like you're standing in a river during these episodes. And the issue is the runoff. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know how you could pick any more poor site, personally. I mean, you've got all these issues that could happen. Is DNREC or Clean Delaware going to guarantee us they're not going to pollute an already polluted river? I mean, come on. Let's get real. Oil, man. What does oil and restaurant grease have to do with agriculture? They want to call this an agriculture application? All my experience is you wet the soil and put oil on it, oil is going to float. It always has. I believe it floats everywhere, you know. It's going to come to the surface. It's going to go with a runoff. I don't know. If we're looking for a cheap way to get rid of this waste, and it looks like that's all it is, just a means to get rid of it in a cheap way, I've got a better idea. I think we could just back up to the Miss P and dump her in, man, be done with it, you know. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Supposed to sign in, right? My name's Jim Hammond, and I live at 3041 Macaulay Road, right back against the river. Approximately 300 acres, woods, tillable ground, and marshland. Now this was sprung on me October 22nd because I'd just gotten back from San Diego. I was at a funeral. And Clean Delaware, I believe, runs a clean operation. That's their name. And I think Jerry tries to run a clean operation. But I've tried to be objective about this because Lynn McCauley came to me and he said, it's safe. If it's safe, why does the EPA consider this stuff hazardous waste? They label it hazardous waste. Biosolids, any kind of biosolid, is labeled hazardous waste. If it's safe, why do they need a permit? If it's normal farming practice, you don't need a permit to put fertilizer on your ground. If you put too much, you're going to burn your crops. And what I know, which is very little. But I think common sense tells us we all have a problem here in getting rid of our waste. Now, there's Class B, there's Class A. What I don't understand is why hadn't Sussex County Why doesn't Sussex County get ahead of the curve and start making these waste producers come up with a Class A sludge? I think that would be a safer method. And where am I here? Now, yeah, that's the trouble with public speaking. You lose your ideas. I would invite every one of you to come down to our locations, the farms in question, the Sharps Farm, Bill Pike's position, Lynn McCauley's farm, my farms, Lynn's brother's farm, and individual houses that have been slated to be built along McCauley Road. Right now, there's only one house built there. Sure, the housing market's fallen off, but I believe Sussex County has, redistrict them or whatever you do, have drawn lots up for this particular property. But we need people to come look at our situation. I don't think the location is a proper location for a sludge farm. If there is a proper location in Sussex County, I think our citizens demand better. I think we need better. And one way is I think this stuff should probably be incinerated to a high degree, and then maybe it'll be safe to put on farmland. But as long as the EPA considers this stuff hazardous waste, I don't know where we're going to go. If the Bureau of Land Management and the many of these articles that I've read, if they don't allow sludge put on the public land in the western states, or in perhaps, I guess, there's some BLM land in here in the eastern part of the country, if that's not allowed to be put on their lands, our public lands, why should it be allowed to be put on a private land amongst a lot of other private property? It just makes no sense to me. And I have no bone to grind with these guys. I think they run as clean an operation, I think, as you could possibly run it when you're putting liquid sludge on the ground. One of the producers that was producing, I guess it's sludge, J.G. Townsend. I got wondering, why does J.G. Townsend need clean Delaware to put, I guess, manufacturing water on the ground? Why don't they put it on their own ground? They own thousands of acres. And what's in their sewer waste that can't be put on their own property? There's too much going on that a lot of us don't understand yet. And this just jumped at me October 22nd. And now we're, December 11th. So there hadn't been a lot of time to study it. But, Mr. Chairman, I want to give you everything I've been able, or my friends have been able to pull off the Internet. I'm not the brightest.
Thank you.
When it comes to the Internet. I appreciate your time, but I think we need more study on this.
Okay. Thank you. Next speaker, please. Yes. Come on up. You.
Your Lawrence. Read that and give us a report back on.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
My name is Mary Sue Sharp. I live at 5538 Mills Road, Milford, Delaware. And I did kind of read over this. I have to read it because I'm not good at public speaking. So I kind of read over this at the last meeting, but I've added a few things to it as well. Lawrence does have a copy of it, if you don't mind bearing with me. Once again, I am speaking on behalf of the Sharp Farms as well as surrounding property areas. Two of our farms consist of 315 acres, as you see on the map, and adjoin at least two of the McCauley farms mentioned in the letter we received. One farm of which we share a right-of-way lane with the McCauley farm. We are definitely opposed to this waste application that will most certainly have an ill effect on all of our properties. Upon reading the proposal sent to us and the list of various types of products to be used on this on the property next to ours, it would seem that it's just plain sludge to me. And furthermore, the locations of where the sludge is coming from, Bridgeville, Lewis, Selbyville, not Milford. Perhaps they should dispose of it in their own area. Last time they at the meeting, they were discussing where Milford's goes to. Milford's goes to the Kent County waste water treatment in Kent County. How come this can't go there? I do not understand. Okay. We do have concerns about the waste will seep into the ground. and will be absorbed by the local wells and contaminate our waters. Clean Delaware at the last meeting said they were bonded for $50,000. That has since changed to $1 million. Am I not correct? No. I could be wrong there. I'm not sure, but I think that's what I understood. There is a concern, too, a concern of ours on the runoff of these byproducts into the Missipillion River, and it will have an adverse effect on our wildlife. As Macaulay Farm is directly on the river, and I do not think that any of the other properties where this is being done is on an absolute main tributary to the Delaware Bay, if I'm not mistaken. It could be, but I do not think that it is, and the Missipillion River is definitely a main tributary. Wildlife is concerned of wildlife. There are many hunters and fishers in the audience, of course, so it is important to us as farmers. Excuse me. There is no doubt that there will be foul odor as a result of the waste, which will most definitely draw unwanted insects. The two go hand in hand. Here to work, I've traveled to Georgetown here to work for quite a few years, as you all already know, and I have smelled the odors on Route 30. They are there. Even once compressed, sludge still contains minor elements such as zinc, iron, and other chemicals that in time will neutralize the ground and part of the adjoining farmland, which would be ours, which will result in a lower crop yield, which, as you know, results in a lower income. After the meeting on November 15th with the County Planning and Zoning Commission, I learned that during this waste application, the only crops permitted to be planted on the land are to be corn and small grains. And after completion of any application, there would be a 3-year period before any crops could be grown for human consumption. We as farmers are required to take nutrient management classes as to how to dispose of our waste. I think that DNREC has different requirements. Either way, it would seem that this process is not healthy for humans or animals. This really concerns me because as I said, as I said, our property adjoins Macaulay's farm, shared by the same road. This property is rented to the Shockley Farm and is planted in lima beans each year, which are naturally for human consumption. And irregardless of any type of buffer installed on the mentioned properties, a heavy rain or snow will inadvertently cause runoff to our farmland and to the adjoining property owners, which will cause problems. This application of sludge, raw grease, raw residue, and other such products are of no benefit to our residents or our property other than perhaps Lynn Macaulay and Clean Delaware. And even he must have his reservations as well, because according to the list of parcels not included, Mr. Macaulay also owns Map District 330, Map 7, Parcel 5, consisting of 65.05 acres, and District 330, Map 7, Parcel 1, consisting of 87.59 acres, and these parcels are not even a half mile from the sites listed on the proposal, but they are on another road and separated by woods, where his residence is located. If he doesn't want it near his home, why should we? I do hope that you all will take this into consideration, because our area is not a dump and we do not deserve this. And I do know that there are smells coming from it, because I do smell it, irregardless of what type of operation, where it's located. I travel Route 30 each and every day and have for 36 years. I'm sure the last 21 he's been in business, and it's there, and we don't want it. We simply don't want it. It's not fair.
Okay, thank you. Be sure and sign in. I see you are. Is there another speaker? Okay, approximately how many more speakers do we have? People would like to speak? Two, three, four, five. Okay, again, if you try to not repeat things already said, we've had people commenting on potential insects, odors. There's been a lot of discussion on runoff and also concerning foods for or crops for human consumption being potentially affected.
Good afternoon. Okay. My name is Casey Sharp. I've lived in Cedar Neck for 34 years. Okay, I'm not here in a suit and tie. I'm not here to stand up for a company. I'm here to stand up for a community that I've lived in for 34 years, and we're a very tight community. As you can see, there's a few that like to, you know, not hang with the community, as they would say. Okay? The first thing, this community, or this Cedar Neck, where this was proposed to be, at the beginning of the meeting, it was referred to as a place out of the way. Okay? We're not a place out of the way. We're out in the country where crops are grown for people to consume, also for cows to consume, you know, livestock to consume. Okay? So for them to call us out of the way, you know, out of sight, out of mind, that's not going to fit well with our community, trust me, because we are very tight-knit. And I heard them say that the land quality and the soil quality is good, okay, where this is proposed. It's good quality land. Why does it need it? Why not go to a different field where maybe the crops don't grow as well? Or where there's no houses around? Or, as he said, why not dump it into the Mississippian? I mean, I've lived here for 34 years. My grandfather's land is right across the road. And I've never seen this field bare. I've always seen it with crops. I've always seen it with good crops. And he said himself, he has a degree or a certification. And he said the soil is perfectly fine. So why do we need enhancement for the soil? We don't. We don't need enhancement. You know, if this stuff is so good for soil and so good for crops, put it where it's needed. Not down in Cedar Neck, where all the soil has been taken care of for years. And we always have good crops down in Cedar Neck. Always. So there's really no need for it on that land, except for the landowner to make money and Clean Delaware to dump their waste. That's the only reason, that's what all this is about. Okay, it's not to help the land, because the land is perfectly fine. Okay, I've never seen it, the crops not grow there. And as he said, the soil level and everything is, it's a prime candidate. Okay, you know what it's a prime candidate for? Good crops. And that's what's coming out of it right now. I don't think that should be tampered with. Okay, some of the other towns, we got Selbyville, Lewis, Melton, Indian River. Okay, Cedar Neck is a long ways from there, and there's plenty of fields in between Cedar Neck and Indian River or Selbyville, because my daughter used to go to ballet in Selbyville. I know how far it is away. Okay, there's plenty of fields that they can try their sludge out on, than rather than bring it to us an hour away. You know, we don't need it. As for the buffer, they mentioned grass. Water runs through grass. I've never seen a buffer of grass stop water, okay? If you go to Rehoboth Beach, I work in Rehoboth Beach, it's super fresh. I've been to the boardwalk. They put buffers there of, I'm not sure if it's switchgrass, but they put buffers there. What happens during a nor'easter? The whole town of Rehoboth floods because that buffer is not strong enough nor thick enough, nor adequate enough to stop water from going through it. No buffer is going to stop water unless it's cement and it's 50 feet in the ground. Grass is not going to stop water. It's not going to happen. I mean, we had Hurricane Sandy. Water came up through the ocean, washed out all the plants, went into Rehoboth, got in the tunnels and everything underneath, the water supplies. But that buffer didn't do anything at all. He said that they're not going to have any storage there. But at the beginning of the meeting, they said behind the two chicken houses, there was a shed that they could use for storage. Am I right? Am I correct? Yes, I'm correct. Behind the two chicken houses, there was a building back there that could be used for storage. I wrote that down when I heard it.
What do you think they'd store in there? Or are you implying that they'd store?
I'm implying that they would bring waste in there and store it until they were ready to spread it.
In a building, okay.
And it'd be yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Did you hear that, George? I didn't hear that.
Yeah. We just heard it. That's okay. Okay.
Yeah, at the beginning of the meeting, there was
I believe that it was, I'd heard that they indicated there was a building that they could take vehicles behind for offloading.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if that was correct, but that was my understanding.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. I just didn't hear anything.
Okay. I'm just saying that, you know, the buffers,
right on the river.
The buffers aren't going to stop anything. The land quality is already great there. There's always been crops there. Okay. All this sludge is coming from other towns and other, you know, other places. Why should it be brought to Cedar Neck, Delaware, where we're about no more than 5 miles from the bay, the ocean, you know? I mean, we got water, we got marshes, we got waterways, everything that runs right into the bay. And all the water that comes off them fields is going to make its way to the bay. So I say we just take the pollution that they're bringing and just dump it in the bay instead of spreading it on fields and prolonging the operation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? And to our list, we also have added to that distance from the sites where the items produced.
Sir.
Not George.
All right, my name's Jason Donovan. I live on 22026 Winding Woods Drive, Milford. It's off Shockley Road. I own about 25 acres. It's about a couple hundred feet from this proposed property. there was a few things that I did hear about the stockpiling. He did say that his intentions weren't to stockpile, but he didn't say that they couldn't stockpile. So that was one thing I wondered if, how is this regulated? I mean, he says his intentions is not to stockpile, and there's intentions of not applying septic on this farm. Is that what the permit says that they have, that they can't stockpile this and they can't spread septic? I mean, you can intend all you want, but, you know, down the road, a couple years from now, he might say, hey, you know, we need to start spreading this here because we don't have any other place to put it. So, and I wonder who regulates this and who do we complain to if we do have a problem with the water or something in the water.
Just so you know, we were given some proposed conditions during their presentation, and one of them is no land application material shall be stockpiled longer than 7 days on site.
So it's longer than 7 days.
No longer than seven days. That is a condition, should this pass, that probably will be incorporated. If it passes, that most likely
stipulations
would be
with the permit.
And maybe a good thing, Everett, let me interrupt. If you could explain at the end when everybody's done, there's the permit from DNREC, and then there's the land use from Sussex County. And when people say, who's going to regulate, who's going to this, if you could maybe go through who would regulate what.
Sure.
And that might give a good explanation to everybody here. Okay? That might be helpful.
All right. Well, I just think that the misspaying rivers there, everything, I think we need to be a lot better stewards of the land. I think we can find a better place to do this than where they're proposing to do it. So I don't think it's healthy for me or my family, and I've lived there my entire life, and I'm planning on living there, and I'm very worried about my property value, you know? I had the opportunity to put my land in farmland preservation, and I didn't because I thought, well, down the road, this, you know, this might be my retirement to sell for land development, you know, 30 years down the road. I don't know. So, but as soon as somebody hears there's been sewage dumped within 200 feet of this, my property, who's going to want to buy that? You know, they're going to keep right on going, you know? I would, you know? So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Sir?
Somebody steal the pen?
And I misplaced it. I'm Alan Mills. I live on Sap Road. Kind of hard to talk right at the same time here. One of my main concerns, I'm also a poultry grower. I have a poultry farm about a mile away from this property as a crow flies. And I'm trying to put up concrete, heavy-use pads, manure structures, composters, tree-lined buffers. I even have a little bucket of water with a Clorox tablet in it that we have to step in before we go in the house and whatnot to make sure I'm regulated by nutrient management and CAFO permits and all, so that I don't pollute the rivers of the state, which in my case would be the Missipillion River. I'm probably 2.5 miles from the Missipillion River. This property butts up to the Missipillion River. Also, when we have an outbreak of avian influenza or LT on a chicken farm, the last one we had over in the Greenwood area, the state police put up roadblocks on the road to keep people from driving by the infected farm so that nothing got past this. If this farm should have an outbreak of some type of disease, here's 6 trucks that are going to be driving, as I said, right through the existing chicken farm, right between the houses and parked on his manure shed, leave there and go over the towns of Bridgeville, Selbyville, Georgetown, pick up every little spore that's out there and bring it right back to this chicken farm. This chicken farm has got no business being next to an area where you're going to apply this sludge with this type of traffic and the potential to spread disease all over everywhere. I had spoken with Purdue about this, and they wouldn't give me a letter of one way or the other on this because of the problem they're having over in Chesapeake Bay right now. Also, I'm a property owner next door. I own this farm here that butts up to this field. I'm assuming this green area is where you're going to put the switchgrass or whatever buffers. You need to do a little investigation.
Sir, do you mind coming back to the microphone, or if there's one there he can use?
It's right there on the end. It's picking up. The light's coming on.
Okay. You've got this area here in the swamp. That's a tree area. This is the field. There's no way you can put switchgrass back there. This is about a 28-acre field. If you put a 100-foot buffer in it, like I think planning and zoning was requesting the other day, by the time you go 100 feet around this field here, move that switchgrass back in here in the field where it belongs, not into the woods, you're only going to end up with about a 10-acre field or whatever there. I also have an irrigation system that's mounted right here on my side of this hedgerow, where I grow vegetables with Hanover Foods. My concern there is, can you guarantee me this stuff won't get down into the well water and I suck it back up, irrigate it on my lima beans, Hanover Foods comes in and says, look, we're afraid of this. We don't want any contamination or anything coming back on our vegetables. As far as the truck traffic, the roads in that neighborhood, I'd be more than glad to bring you down there. They can't take any more heavy use. They're crumbled up. They're busted up as they are now. Anyway, it's just, Oh, and another thing I found out too, that you can't fence in an area. I mean, I know you can't grow vegetables, which I grow sweet corn, peas, and lima beans on my farm next door. So I know you couldn't do this. And if it ran over on that, that's a concern. Also, you can't fence in an area where they apply this sludge and put animals. We also, in this neighborhood, they hunt deer, turkeys, and while we were down there the other day with a high ag official, geese was flying over, landing on the field. So now, if you can't have animals on here, but what's going to happen when the deer eat off this field, and then we shoot the deer, or they're trying to preserve Route 1, east of Route 1 and the bay for a fly zone and ag preservation, animal wildlife, and then you spread this stuff here that's detrimental to the wildlife. So between the wildlife, the wetlands, the river, this is just not the place to put this. I thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, is it just these two left now?
I thought the lady in the back.
Two, one in the back, another guy.
Okay.
Four people.
Howard Webb, 5536 Cedar Neck Road.
I've been a nutrient applicator my whole life, so I've had a lot of observations. My nutrients cost me money, so if I don't want to lose them to groundwater going down, I have to apply them close to planting or to a growing crop. There's a lot of the things that are permitted to do. You have none of those in practice. I mean, take you and I, we are not allowed to apply nutrients during the winter months. DanRec lets them do it. When you have nothing growing, no plant roots to take up those nutrients. Water just takes them on down. Our greatest danger, as Mr. Warnell said, is groundwater contamination. I mean, odors won't hurt us. They're just a nuisance. But you mess up our groundwater, we are done. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. There's a gentleman here, and then there's someone here.
My name is Bill Hopkins. I live on 4991 Mills Road. I have a few concerns. First and foremost is my drinking water. I don't know what kind of regulations DENREC has on heavy metals and whatnot that I personally need to be concerned about in my drinking water. But from reading different things, they don't regulate everything that can be harmful to us. That being said, I'm not comfortable with what's going on down there. Secondly, and I know I'm trying not to repeat everything, but this swale, if you have a 20-foot difference in elevation, obviously it runs down to the Mississippi River, water runs downhill. This swale is only going to keep it from getting on the neighboring properties. It's still going to get to the Mississippi River. And with that being said, and I don't know a lot about this, I just seen this on the news this morning, and I'll read what WBOC has. The Delaware Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control has proposed a plan to force all Sussex County residents with private septic tanks to update their systems. The plan is to keep the bay clean. People who live within a quarter mile of the coast near the bays, rivers, or tributaries could be subject to this change. I won't go into all of this, but if we're worried about a few, and I say a few because I think we're dealing with these municipalities, thousands of people that we're bringing their, we're trying to make sludge sound good, we're bringing it down to my neighborhood. That being said, if I live within a quarter of a mile of a tributary, so if I'm going to have to upgrade my personal septic, I sure as heck don't want everybody else's septic within a half a mile of where I'm at. And to address your concern with Purdue Wastewater, I've had two different dealings with Purdue Wastewater. First and foremost, I own a lawn business. I used to maintain Purdue in Milford. Terrible odor, their wastewater. Secondly, I did hunt down on Blessing Farms. I hunted snow geese down there. Terrible odor, and it was Purdue Wastewater. I don't know what Clean Delaware can do to not make that stink, but you're talking about wastewater. I don't know how we can't make that smell. And again, the smell is not my concern as much as my health and my family's. I own 3 or 4 different parcels of ground. I got 4 children. Hopefully all 4 of my children will live on one or all of those parcels at some point in time. And I don't want them to have to worry about mercury or anything else that can harm them due to the fact that we're bringing in other people's sludge. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Neil Shockley. And we till the ground on both 2 sides of the farm there, and we put cows next to the farm there. And how's that going to affect our cows eating this ryegrass? And I've talked with Ed Key, and he is very concerned about this ground. All you guys have to go out there is go out there and look at the lay of the ground. That's all we had to do. And he's very concerned. And he said, and I would like for you guys not to proceed this over until he contacts you guys. He is supposed to be writing a letter or contact you guys, though.
Okay. Thank you. Is anyone else? Someone said there was someone in the back.
It was a lady in the back. There, here she comes.
Here she comes.
Give her a second or two. She's
okay. She's the map hides her from my view. So.
Let's leave the record open for Ed Key's letter.
I guess for him, I guess.
My name is Mary Walls Grant, and I live on one of the fields that the sludge farm is supposed to be coming on. I was raised on a Sussex County poultry, dairy, and crop farm. I have a Bachelor of Science degree in Agricultural Science. I have worked as a biologist for the DuPont Steinhaspel Laboratories in Newark, Delaware, and have worked directly with plant and soil research. However, in my research, I have yet to find biosolids as safe, attractive, and beneficial to farms, nor is it safe for the waterways, environment, or the peel of Sussex County. 4 years ago, my husband and I purchased a lot from Lynn McCauley directly on one of the fields for this biosolids application. Shortly afterwards, we built a home on this property, a home that we built without asking for or receiving a penny from anybody. We purchased our property and built our home with pure hard work. Now, just 3 years later, we are faced with the probability of a sludge farm being on the field our home is built on. All that hard work, our dream, our safety, and peace of mind will be taken away from us. The day that this biosolid sludge is applied next to my home, I will no longer feel safe in my own home. My drinking water may be contaminated. The shower I take may cause infection. The air I breathe may cause us to be sick. By allowing the sludge to be applied around my home, it would be taking away my peace of mind for having and raising a family. Who would want to have children living and playing near a biosolid sludge environment? My family, my neighbors, and Sussex County have a lot to lose from the application of biosolids. Hopefully not the life or health of one of us. There's numerous reports of people who have died and become sick because of the application of biosolids. On October 12, 1994, a healthy 11-year-old boy went for a ride on his motorbike and became in direct contact with the treated biosolid sludge. He died within 8 days of fighting a blood infection from the bacteria. 5 years ago, a healthy 26-year-old Shane Connor died sickened by the parade of trucks that carried biosolids past his house. In Maryland, Class A sewage sludge was spread on children's playgrounds. Kids suffered from staphylococcitis, aureus infection, skin lesions, and bronchial pneumonia. In Texas, Class A biosolids was spread over a park after a nearby music festival. Sludge victims suffered from sore throats, fevers, lethargia, rash eruptions, turning into a sea of red papules, clumped platelets, and viscerosis. In Arizona, 50 families have been found to be ill from biosolid sludge. Also in Arizona, the deaths of 2 5-year-old boys from amniotic meningitis were caused by biosolids exposure. This is just the beginning of a list of thousands of cases where people have become ill or died because of the spreading of Class A and Class B biosolids. And most of those are Class A. And Class B, Class A is considered safer than Class B. The EPA describes biosolids Class B as a partially treated sludge that still contains detectable pathogens. It's treated, but it's only partially treated. The fact is, biosolid sewage sludge is defined by HarperCollins Dictionary of Environmental Science as a semi-solid mixture of bacteria, virus-laden organic matter, toxic metals, synthetic organic chemicals, and settled solids removed from domestic and industrial waste at sewage treatment plants. That's directly from the Dictionary of Environmental Sciences. The Federal Clean Water Act classifies biosolid sewage sludge as a pollutant. Mistakes and accidents happen every day in this country. As clean and safe as clean Delaware may be, all it will take is one accident and one person becoming sick and one person dying, and none of this will be worth it.
Okay, was there anyone else that desired to speak? You've already had an opportunity to speak, sir.
Can't add anything.
You've had an opportunity. It's been our practice. Once you have the one time to speak, that would be it.
Excuse me, ma'am. Can you show us where you live?
Could you just step up here real quick?
I can show you.
Show me on this map right here, this map.
I can show you.
I'll just let her show me, please.
It's right here.
We're going to spray here and here, I guess. We're going to here somewhere.
Right here.
On that corner.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
How close is that to the...
How you doing, Ray?
Thank you.
Yep.
Was there anyone else that has not previously spoken that would like to speak?
Yep.
Okay, seeing none, Mr. President, at this time, we'd close the public hearing on this matter. If the council desired, you could leave the record open. For a short period of time.
Is there something coming from Ed Key? I wonder, you know, is there something we should be looking for?
It was referenced, I'm sure we could.
It was referenced, but if we keep it open for the one, if anyone...
For a period of time,
right.
Entertain a motion.
Yeah, what I'd like to add to that, though, I heard reference to the impact of this type of operation near poultry houses, and we don't really have any testimony, you know, verifying there if there is a problem or not a problem, other than what we heard today. And then Hanover Foods, a reference for them, what gentleman there commented, possible, does Hanover Foods, are they concerned about sludge operations or this type of application in an adjoining field to a guy who's growing vegetables for them? Is it possible then, Mr. Attorney, that if we left the record open and if we could request maybe the gentleman who works with Hanover Foods, if he could contact him and try to get some testimony from him? They won't touch it. And the other suggestion would be... Okay. The other suggestion would be, then, Mr. Attorney, if it's possible, if we could contact DPI, Delaware Poultry Institute, Bill Satterfield, and then we don't go to any producers, because I think Purdue actually uses his services, so we can't ask Purdue, and just get some testimony from them if there's any problem with these types of applications in the proximity to chicken houses. Because I don't know, unless, and then we ought to also leave it open. There was reference to Ed Key, so maybe the Department of Agriculture ought to give us some comments on their take on this, because Department of Natural Resources is the agency that is going to protect everybody in this room, right? So we could leave it open. Yeah, I'd like to make a motion then that we leave it open for additional comments from Department of Agriculture, DPNI, and if we can get any kind of testimony from any vegetable processors, we would welcome it.
Poultry growers.
So maybe we just...
For how long?
Well, I'd say 30. I mean, well, we got the holidays. I'd say 60 days.
Chicken farmers.
So leave the record open for 60 days, and then I would just leave it open maybe that we just get additional testimony, but I would like to target some of these, you know, get some information from these, and maybe Ed Key could get us comments from
What I would suggest is that we leave the record, if you desire to leave the record open, leave it open. That way anyone can comment because that way obviously the applicants may want, we just can't leave it open, in my opinion, for people addressing that you're hoping against or potentially be against. We would need the opportunity for anyone who is also in favor to be able to submit additional information to. So that, and just if you decide 60 days, then it's 60 days, and they would have to submit the information to County Council.
And explain, if he could, the difference between...
Do what, Lawrence?
Written comments.
Written comments. It is not additional testimony.
Okay, right.
And Everett, if you could also maybe explain the application coming out of DNREC and who enforces that and what we are actually looking at here, what we're doing here. We're looking at the land use, and that's it.
Right. There's two applications that are being referenced. One was the DENREC application. We have no authority over the DENREC application. We have no enforcement authority. The council does not have the expertise or the county employees' expertise to address those issues. That would be done strictly by the state agency that issues that. What we're looking at in the county council is strictly a land use issue, and that land use issue is the conditional use request today. And as part of that conditional use, there's been some proposed restrictions, and the council could adopt those, or they could put their own restrictions on this as part of the conditional use. Whatever the council decides to put on as restrictions, the council would have enforcement authority over those. So if there was time limitations, as far as the use storage times that materials could stay on site, those are things that the council, through its planning and zoning department, could address, but nothing concerning the DENREC permit itself.
But that would be complaint-driven, would it not?
I'm not going to address that,
no.
Ms. Deaver.
All right.
That's
what I've always been told.
On our end, it would be.
Yes, on our end.
Yeah, not on department.
Right, no, our end.
We will close the public hearing. And we will entertain a motion to leave the public comment open, written public comment, for 60 days. And that we'll have Mr. Lank contact Department of Agriculture and DPI and ask them to make a comment if they choose to.
Very good.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Toll, second, Mr. Wilson. Any question on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you all.
Someone brought a contract up to me if you want to get that.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Any question on that motion?
No.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips. Wilson.
Thank you.
I vote yes, motion carried.